Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, episode 12, To Catch a Thief.
Mm-hmm. We are. There are thieves in this episode. We have our usual disclaimers, which include that there's going to be cursing, because for sure, this episode and the next episode, cursing, and in different forms. And we also have, I don't know if they're going to be spoilers other than what I just said, but we have things to drink. What are you having to drink, Natalie?
Well, my father suggested this drink to me, because I'm home for the holidays, and the way he put it is, well, you can have Bailey's because Jonathan Bailey is in the new Wicked movie and you went to see that. And I'm like, well, I do love Jonathan Bailey. So not that it has anything to do with Once Upon a Time in Wonderland whatsoever. I am having this in honor of Jonathan Bailey being fantastic in the Wicked movie.
Yay.
And being fantastic in general, because yes, I love Jonathan Bailey.
Jonathan Bailey is
he deserves all the flowers and all the awards and everything.
I think he could have chemistry with a rock.
You know, I read that.
Yes, absolutely.
You're so quoting me.
I'm not, please, Natalie.
Like, I literally said that yesterday.
Yeah, but I was with you yesterday.
I said it in your presence yesterday. Yes, I did. You plagiarism. This is wow. What my school has taught me. Plagiarism.
Wow.
Wait, not to
everything
do. Taught me not to do is plagiarism, to be clear.
I just don't even have thoughts about that. Like I have way too many thoughts about it, and I don't want to talk about it here. So I am having an Angry Orchard Sinful Apple, because we love Sinful Apple. And it's also, there is a lot of sinning going on in this episode. There's a lot of red darkness sin stuff going on. I think it's appropriate for this one. So let's get started.
Okay. So we're going to start in the past. This is the last past segment that we get. So in the past, Will is the Knave of Hearts at this point, with the soldiers, the Queen of Hearts' soldiers, hunting for a dangerous criminal. They see someone running by and they run after them. Will catches up to them. And it's Alice, who has been accused of murder by the Queen of Hearts. She holds him at sword point, but then eventually runs off. So Will, later on, tries to sneak up on Alice while she's asleep, but he gets caught in one of her traps. He keeps trying to stab her, but she immediately disarms him. Like, he's very incompetent. This is one of the many things I love about Will. He acts so competent at, like, very specific things, but, like, at combat or anything like that is just like, well, I'm just going to fall down this hill, or I'm just going to try to keep stabbing you through this like trap, and completely fails.
Yeah,
and
it's pretty funny.
Alice says that all she did to the Queen of Hearts was pick like a willow tree or something like that.
Yes.
Will says he doesn't have a choice but try to kill Alice because the Queen took his heart. And when you have your heart, you can control the people.
Yes.
And so Alice says that she'll steal his heart back and give him a second chance, because Alice is a great person.
Well, everyone deserves a second chance is what she says.
Yes.
And that is a line that is also in a regular one spot, if you watch that.
Mm-hmm. Alice sneaks into the Queen's vault, the Queen of Hearts' vault, aka Cora, who ruined Will's life.
Yeah.
During the changing of the guard, she has great timing. She figures out the filing system and finds his heart is, the filing system is essentially a deck of cards, and she finds his heart behind the Jack of Hearts.
Yep.
And so then she goes back to her camp where Will is still caught in the trap, and she controls him and tells him to stop trying to kill her.
Then she messes with him,
then
which
she
is really funny.
Him.
She makes him like hop on one foot and flap his arms up and down.
She then tells him to help her prove her father to her father that she isn't crazy and find proof for him. Later on, well, he doesn't get a chance to agree because she has his heart. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's a command. And so later on, Alice and Will are at a pub and getting along famously.
They're drinking, having a drinking contest.
Mm-hmm.
I love his line, like, or these lines. The banter between them is really funny. But he says, oh, you must be really into drinking. She's like, no, I'm really into winning.
Alice is questioning why she needs to find proof for her father, which kind of plays into what the conversation that she has with Cyrus later on in the timeline. Will talks about his sister Penelope, who was stubborn like Alice and who died young after falling into a freezing lake. Alice gives Will his heart back because she feels bad and she doesn't want to control him. Later on, Will and Alice are battling the...
Oh, hang on. He has a really good line here because she's like, you know, you're free to go or whatever. And he's like, no, I'll go with you because the best thieves never work alone.
Yes. Will and Alice are battling the Queen of Hearts guards in the hedge maze. Will gives her the bag with the rabbit. And Will tells her that her happy ending is right around the corner.
I want to point out, and we have failed to point out some of these other like things that come up that are referential to other shows that were going on at the time or movies that were going on at the time. This hedge maze, the bushes like snatch the guards up just like in Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. So there are other tropes like that or other mechanisms like that that come up in this show that are reminiscent of other shows that like that was a cool new thing at the time. So that's part of what happens with the hedge maze and how they get away from the Queen of Hearts guards there. But yes.
And as we know in that timeline, it, right after she runs off in the hedge maze with the bag with the rabbit in it is when she comes across Cyrus's bottle and her
right around the corner.
And her happy ending was right around the corner, like he said.
Yeah.
All right, back to the present.
Back to the present.
Jafar!
Oh, hang on. First of all, we have to point out that the Red Queen, Anastasia, looks absolutely fucking amazing while dead. I mean, how she goes from bruised, dirty, whatever, to immaculately clean with perfect hair and a perfect dress.
It's once upon a time, mother.
Anything can happen in Wonderland.
Anything can happen in Wonderland.
But she's in a glass coffin, and my first thought is like, is this going to be one of those Snow White situations?
No. Mm. Specifically, a glass coffin right in front of Will's cell.
Yes.
So he can watch her be dead and decompose.
The dead girl. Yes.
And, my God, I just wrote down Jafar has laid Anastasia's body in a glass coffin out in front of Will's cell because he is a heartless bitch. Jafar taunts Will and it's working. The Sultan tells Jafar to show Will some mercy and Jafar says, mercy? And I suppose you'd be an expert on the subject.
It is pretty funny. But what he says, the Sultan says, that he has learned from his mistakes and he keeps waiting for Jafar to learn from anything he's done and he just hasn't.
He said, Jafar says he can bring Anastasia back after he breaks the laws of magic for as long as he gets a favor out of Will. And Will says, I'd say you're a lying bastard. And Jafar says, half right. I wonder which half he's referring to that day.
Yeah, but part of the taunts and part of what he does to Will is that he preys on how Anastasia did absolutely everything, including God, to get him back, to get make his life, Will's life, right. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, but she risked everything for you. Shouldn't you be doing that too? You should be doing that. And it works because, you know, that is a real sentiment that now that he has his heart back, Will is feeling.
Yeah. So Cyrus, in the meantime, wants to return the water to the well by just like getting the staff and going to the Well of Wonders. Alice says that they should at least try to break his mother free first, but Cyrus doesn't want to risk it. And Alice is like, I mean, I've been in the position where I don't have a mother. I'm not speaking from my experience. I'm talking about Alice.
Your mother's here.
My mother's right here. But Alice has been in the position where she doesn't have a mother and she would give anything to see her mother again. Whereas Cyrus at this point is just like in denial of just like, okay, well, no, we're just going to get the water back. It's going to be fine.
It's not denial. I think he feels like while there is an essence of his mother in there, he doesn't feel like she can be restored bodily. And he also knows what he did the last time had, you know, the magic had a price that he doesn't want to pay that kind of price again.
And especially if it, like, he's willing to risk his life, but not a life with Alice is what he says,
yeah.
Which is very sweet.
Yes.
Will comes into the tent and tells them what happened to Anastasia. He asks Alice to let Jafar win and change the laws of magic. Cyrus and Alice are hesitant to help Will and they don't give him the staff. Because they're like, that's not the way to do this. And Will is
he's
just like,
really hurt.
Will's hurt, but at the same time, he's just like, okay, fine. Where are you guys going to the Well of Wonders? Okay, I'll go with you. Anyway, meanwhile, Jafar is getting annoyed with the Jabberwocky because the Jabberwocky's trying to get her sword back without Jafar noticing, and Jafar's
she's
always noticing.
And she, I love these lines, like, your fear smells like pine needles in snow. It's like, well, that's interesting. That sounds like a candle. Jafar's fear.
Jafar's angst. Pine needles and snow.
Snow, exactly.
She could open a candle shop.
She could. There are so many things. But the Jabberwocky knows that Jafar is scared, and she realizes that it has something to do with Amara, and that he's afraid that Amara won't help him. Jafar knows the Jabberwocky's afraid as well, and she has like the most obvious fear, which is that Jafar isn't going to live up to his promises. Like, fucking duh! Of course he is not. He's Jafar.
Yeah. Palace, Cyrus, and Will make camp. Will goes to take the staff, but Cyrus wakes up and tries to stop him. Will knocks Cyrus out and takes the staff anyway.
Oh, poor Cyrus. It's sad.
Cyrus wakes up and wakes Alice up as well, and she feels guilty for even letting Will come along because she kind of had a feeling this was going to happen.
Then we have this really goofy sequence in which Cyrus is like, hey, I still have the compass. We can follow it around.
Before we get to that part, we go back over to Jafar.
Oh, I didn't even.
Jafar lets Cyrus's brothers out of the bottles.
Oh, yeah, the bros. Yeah,
the younger brother's just happy to see his older brother.
Right, and so it's so obvious that, hey, they know each other.
And well, they know each other, and they know Amara.
They deny knowing Amara, but Jafar was like, first of all, I can see you. So he
I
knows,
just had to look at you.
Yeah, he knows that they look like each other, and they look like Amara. And it's like, yeah, I know y'all are lying. It's fine.
This next section, before you start saying the stuff of the next section, I would like to say shout out to my roommate, Sophie, who is this directionally challenged. Go ahead.
Also factual.
you have not seen it in action. It is truly horrifying.
Wow. So Cyrus still has his compass, and he's like, we can use the compass. And there is this idiotic narration of what the compass is pointing him to. So the compass, and let's be fair, this compass has not consistently pointed to the staff. Why he thinks this is actually going to work is bizarre, but it seems to be working. And he's like, right, no left, no right, no right, no left.
Because
turn left, turn right.
Because Will keeps changing direction.
Right, but they barely give like two steps. And in the process, you know, Will keeps changing direction. And Alice believes it's because Will's directionally challenged, but no, it's not because Will's directionally challenged.
It's mostly because of Will's directional challenge.
He starts running off, and they decide to split up and like kind of
flank him.
And unfortunately, Alice takes the flank that ends in a cliff, but Will knows that, and he catches her, and accidentally when she's arguing with him.
Oh, no. There's this conversation that I'd like to highlight.
Okay.
He says he risked his life for her and Cyrus, but she won't do the same for him and Anastasia. And she says, well, it's different. No, it's not.
It was like, my heartache is not different.
He says, you think your love story is the only one worth fighting for. And then Alice falls off a cliff and into the river.
And he dives in after her because he's that guy.
And he has this line, there are these lines afterwards. Alice says, I thought you didn't know how to swim. And he said, I don't know how to lose you either. Oh!
I mean, it's almost like, gosh, wouldn't it be great if they hooked up?
No.
We do love the whole Cyrus thing.
No.
But,
and Anastasia.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, like, I do see the potential chemistry there as far as like that kind of relationship. But ever since he mentioned like his little sister Penelope and all that stuff, I start to see it as like
a brother sister
relationship. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't know how to lose you. Like, you're someone I can always rely on.
Yeah,
and that
someone
kind of
I
thing.
Care about. And Will points out that they have saved each other before. They're very sweet together. And what Alice says is, well, you've always said the best thieves never work alone. Alice reminds Will that he's not alone, and that was the fault in the premise regarding let's go along with Jafar. She's like, we don't have to do it his way because you're not alone. You don't have to just obey him. So the three of them are magically back together again, which makes no sense.
I wish we saw Cyrus's reaction to like, oh my god, you fell off a cliff.
Yeah, and you're all wet things. But anyway, so Alice realizes as they're walking that it gets silent, which we all know means that the Jabberwocky's there. The Jabberwocky says that she is not like buddies with Jafar, like Jafar is gonna screw her over, and she wants to kind of screw him over if she can. So she says, no one And they have this discussion about how she became a monster, because Alice is kind of like, oh, why don't you know you're a monster? And she's like, you know, no one starts out as a monster. She admits that she can't help with bringing the Red Queen back to life, which is, of course, the goal of the group at this point. But she can, but Amara, the staff, can. So she leads Cyrus to Jafar's name. She puts him in chains. This is a whole charade that they're doing. And Alice and Will break into the castle, like, underneath.
So the hidden tunnels.
Yeah. The hidden tunnels. So basically, the Jabberwocky and Cyrus are a distraction while Alice and Will break into the castle. The Jabberwocky wants to exchange Cyrus for the Vorpal Blade. And Jafar acts like he's thinking about it. Huh. And then... You know,
they Cyrus is literally of very little use right now. Like,
right. Other than he knows where the staff is. And so Cyrus is asking by Jafar, show him where the staff is. And he spits on Jafar. Yay. Mm-hmm. That's just good. Mm-hmm. Jabberwocky lies for Cyrus about, like, whether he's telling the truth or not. And
about, like, knowing where, being like, oh, Alice, the Will, and the staff are long gone by now. And then, yeah. She lies.
And something happens with Cyrus that I can't read my notes.
Okay. So Jafar doesn't give the Jabberwocky the sword, which annoys her. Yeah. And rightfully so.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Will and Alice sneak in through the dungeon past Anastasia's body.
Sure is that.
Will distracts the guards and runs to the palace. Alice lets the Sultan out of his cell, and she's just like, the reason we're letting you out is because Cyrus thinks that you were of great importance to Jafar, and you will punish him for, or like somehow
you'll help us. Our quest.
Sure, I don't know how that would work, but sure. Jafar taunts Cyrus and calls Will back to his bottle just in time before the guards catch Will.
Will's even like, anytime now, it's gonna happen now.
You're trying to time us correctly, but you forgot Jafar's a bottle logger. Yeah. And Jafar tortures Will, like force choking him. Asking him where the staff is, and then Amara shows up,
and we have no idea.
There is a one line explanation, and she's able to counteract Jafar's magic. She's obviously still very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Jafar says, "How did you get out of your staff?" And she says, "Let's just say I didn't teach you everything I know." And I just wrote in all caps, "Huh?" Then why didn't you do this sooner?
Exactly that.
Are, like, you okay?
I guess she was waiting around to see where Cyrus was. I don't know.
I think that would have been a great little line of being like, I waited for you to collect the genies, but he did have all three of them at one right. A year. He had them for a year, and she didn't do jack shit.
Yeah, it's like,
Amara, you crack me up, you groomer. My God, what the fuck was your plan?
Oh, so crazy.
Amara and Jafar have a little magic duel. Meanwhile,
I have to say, these were really horrible green screen effects.
I can't blame They're them, terrible. Though. They don't have the budget, mother. They don't,
but it was bad.
It was, but they were very ambitious, and I appreciate that for them. Alice battles the guards.
Oh, this is great, the fight, though. Amara makes a nest of creepy snakes.
No, before that is Alice doing the guard thing, and then being like, Cyrus taught me how to fight. It's like, okay, girl, we know.
Yeah, we know, sorry.
But yeah, Amara produces some cobras, which Jafar did.
They're huge, and Natalie, back when we first watched this, was so terrified she couldn't watch it.
Yeah, I've grown a little bit over my fear of snakes. I still don't want to see one in person, but when they're like in media, I'm okay for the most part.
Okay. And anyway, they're bad CG, so it's okay.
Yeah, it was fine. Jafar says, snakes, you need a new bit. And Amara, this petty little bitch, I love him. She breaks a mirror, and Jafar figures out that she wasn't after power all those years. She was at, it was all about family.
Like it is with all of us sorcerers.
Yeah. And she can, so Jafar lodges a shard of glass into Cyrus's chest, which Alice feels, which is something they do in Once Upon a Time quite a bit.
Yeah, like she gets,
it's like, oh, I know my loved one's in danger. Ugh, my heart. That kind of thing. I'm glad that's not a real thing, because that would be awful. Alice runs into the room and finds Cyrus stabbed and basically dead. Jafar and Amara complete the spell and change the laws of magic.
Right, they're in the midst of, like, doing the spell at the end of this episode, and his eyes are lighting up white. It's It's a little bit interesting. But at that point, it's kind of like, so yeah, what were your best parts of this episode?
Alice and Will. Yeah. I love them.
Their banter is fabulous. It is really, really great. Because even in their first meeting, they start like jabbing at each other.
It's so cute. It's really so nice. It reminded me of why I was so invested this whole time. It's because they were together. And another thing, just in general, what I really love about this show and this little mini series in particular is that they make you invested in each of the characters but multi-dimensional. You have all these relationships with all these characters, and I feel like some shows aren't good at especially like
adequate backstory to.
Well, sure, but more just like along the lines of like a teen drama. Like sometimes they focus so much on one relationship, like the romantic relationship, that they don't flesh out like the friendships. And that can really piss me off because I'm just like, okay, so you care about this person because you grew up in the same town. Okay. But like, do you care about them on a deeper level? Like, do you have a great friendship with them or whatever? What I like about this show is that it has maintained and added consistent friendships and such, and like weird relationships among like a lot of different characters. Like, you wouldn't have guessed that Cyrus and Anastasia would have an understanding at any point during this series, but they did at one point. And obviously, Will and Alice's relationship has the longest endurance.
Yeah,
and it's very important that they mesh well. And it's interesting because this particular flashback seems like something that would be happening earlier on in the series. It seems like we've watched a lot of Once Upon a Time, so we're used to these like introductory episodes to a character or whatever, and this seems like one of those. But what I like about this is that it comes later, so that you already have all the context. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know why he gave up his heart, you know why like all of this stuff was happening at that time. And you get to see the foundations of the friendship we've been watching this entire time, and it really works. I'm glad they didn't have it earlier, because I mean, then that would just open up a plethora of questions. but you already had the backstory of like, oh, she helped get his heart back, and now we finally get to see it. And I really like that.
Yeah.
Sorry for that random tangent. Amar and Jafar battle. I like the pettiness of it because, again, the fact that she came back at all is hilarious to me. Like, in this human form with that, like, off screen, is very funny to me.
Can I add, like, the breaking the shards of the mirror was like very, very Harry Potter.
Oh, so Harry Potter.
It's like, yeah, there's so many.
I was expecting him to turn into sand. I like their little battle, just because it's like student and master, like back together again, groomer, groomee. Like, it's just like. Yeah, but we don't touch on that, do we, huh? But again, it just reminded me of the badass Jafar line from Amara's first episode of, you loved me, I didn't love you. Yes, you did love me. And then turning her into a snake stick.
Yeah, and that's interesting about like love relationships that comes up in the next episode.
Yes.
Interesting question.
We will talk about that in the next episode.
I hope I remember because I get distracted.
I will remind you.
Okay.
That's a very interesting dynamic that like we haven't seen in a while, because obviously that episode was maybe like episode 3 or something. It was a while ago. And so all that stuff's coming back. And I mean, I think that's all I wrote down for best parts, but they're like deeper, you know what I mean? So there's a lot I like.
Multi-level.
Yes.
Yeah. So I really loved Alice and Will, especially, you know, that again, it's such a well-written relationship too, but it is so well delivered. These actors are
and
great.
They didn't need to dip into the relationship or romantic aspect of it. And I'm glad they didn't. I'm really glad they didn't. If it was a longer like series, I feel like it probably would have, but I'm glad it didn't.
Yeah. And then we've got Amara and Jafar. The fight, I think, is great. It's great to have that fight, that kind of confrontation, that real, and the fact that, you know, she's kind of doing mama bear, you know, she's a little bit like, you got my babies, that is not okay. And I liked Cyrus in this. I felt like he kind of brought some good elements to his angst about what was going on. So that I thought that was good.
I think he does more in the next episode, personally. True. But I do agree. I do like Cyrus. However, it took him a while getting out of those ropes. They probably should have made those looser.
So what were your worst points?
Jafar's pettiness. This man kills
all caps. Petty bitch time.
No, the all caps is next episode. This episode is lowercase. However, imagine you're in Will's position. You're in this cell. You've just watched the love of your life die in front of you because this petty bitch stabbed her in the abdomen. And you watched her bleed out in front of you. And then this bitch dresses her up, puts a rose on her chest, puts her in a glass coffin in front of your cell, and just was going to keep her there. I think while he was force choking Will, he was like, I will put you back in that cell so you watch her decompose into just bone and hair.
Holy shit,
dude, calm down.
No, he's not gonna calm down. Again, the delivery
you think I'm lying? That's an actual line.
The delivery of these lines is just fucking fabulous. Oh,
I love him.
You're an expert on mercy.
You're an expert on mercy. I love it. And again, we had to have, this is why I love this series. And I hate that not more people watch this because it's so fucking dark. Yeah. It really is. It is darker than Once Upon a Time. Some of Once Upon a Time could get really, really dark.
Peter Pan, oh my God.
Emma's whole backstory.
Oh, yeah.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
So dark.
There's a lot to talk about with it. The thing is that it takes a
I don't mind it, Mother. I don't mind it.
Okay.
Anyway, but I just think that in general, the darkness of this really, really works. And so his pettiness and him just being like, I'm okay with killing people. I'm okay with doing this in front of the person that you love. I'm okay with killing the person you love in front of you and then laying them out in front of you to die.
This is called escalation.
Escalation.
But he does it in such a calculated way.
Casual way.
He seems very calm and methodical about it. Sometimes I think that
he is an agent of chaos, but controlled chaos.
Right, but I think that he's just riffing.
He is, and I love it for him. He's fantastic. He's probably my favorite TV villain sometimes. He can really get there because you get clear motives, which I love. I love developing the villain.
Yeah.
Not necessarily justifiable motives for the most part. You have justifiable motives for the Sultan stuff, but everybody else is just trying to live their life. But Jafar is just a petty little bitch who wants everyone to be miserable like him. Yes. I love him. The Jabberwocky's hair, those micro bangs are still not doing her justice. That poor girl. And they are uneven. Uneven. They're layered bangs that are stupid and don't need to be layered.
It is bad. I think Christina Aguilera had bangs like that one
time. I'm sure somebody had bangs like that at one point. They thought it was a good idea to put on this poor woman doing a great performance as a creepy Jabberwocky thing. But no, it was not the right call. Alice not helping Will immediately in general. It's fine for her not to be like, oh yeah, we're gonna help Jafar. No, that makes a lot of sense for you not to do that. But for her selfish and being like, it's different. But her saying stuff like, oh well, it was different when you risked your life for me and Cyrus's happiness. It's like, no, it shouldn't be. Shouldn't be different.
So I think part of that, and that's a worst part generally, I didn't write it down as the worst part. And the reason I didn't is because, first of all, I think it's very real. She's not articulate about why it's different first because she hasn't figured out a way to say it. She thinks it's obvious. You can't go with Jafar, right? But she realizes the reason there's a different way to handle it. Not that what is happening to you is different, or that we don't want to help you, but we've got to find a different way to do this.
Yeah, so that we don't help Jafar and we don't do all that stuff.
Right.
And that we have at least a plan. So
all our plans go to hell.
Have any of our plans ever actually worked? We plan, we get there, all hell breaks loose.
As Ron Weasley would say.
No, that was Harry. Yes, it was Harry. However, I think that it's odd, but their original plan, I guess, was going to be like, I guess their plan was Amara's going to somehow free herself from the snake's stick. We're going to get to that in my worst parts in just a second. They're going to free Amara. Amara's going to defeat Jafar, and Anastasia's still going to be dead. Like, would she become like? But she needed Jafar's magic to like break the laws of magic in the first place. That's the whole reason why she groomed him. So I'm just confused about what the plan was. Anyway, my last worst part is random plot conveniences. Yeah. I admit, like Amara, to be fair, this series has been pretty good about not doing this.
Yes.
It has justified a lot of different magical bullshit, but it justified it and made it be like, all right, there's a reason why this is available. There's a reason why this is their limits or whatever. But for this in particular, I'm just like, what happened? Like, it's like making it seem like she could have gotten out at any time really pisses me off.
Yes.
Because she had literally every opportunity to just get out of there.
All her sons
were in the same place, like, for a year. Like, at least a year. Like, I don't know why she didn't just pop out and be like, all right, Cyrus, out of the cage. All right, boys, let's go.
Yeah,
or
really.
Anything.
Right.
Like,
right.
You had all three of the genie's bottles, and then you could have been like, all right, we need to go to the Well of Wonders. I'm going to sacrifice myself. All right, babies.
Let's go, boys.
Let's go. And then release yourself back to the waters, and then you're fine. Like, there were opportunities.
Okay, they might not have known about the well business at that point, but that doesn't justify.
No, they knew about the well business. Amara knew about the well.
She knew that the well existed.
Not in Wonderland, but no, I guess they didn't know where it was in Wonderland. But that doesn't. Regardless, they could have traveled to Agrabah.
Yeah, they could have. Right. I mean, they could have gotten the rabbit traveled to Agrabah. That's not really the issue.
That's plot convenience is the worst part for me because I'm sad that they relied on that for a crutch because this show has been really good about like, all right, if there's going to be a plot convenience like Amara switching back from a snake stick, there's going to be at least half an episode dedicated to getting her to that state.
Yeah.
But they just were like, they like cut away. They have this whole plan, and then Amara's just going to show up. How did Amara even get there? Where was the stick?
I don't know.
Like she didn't go with. She must have gone with like the Jabberwocky or Cyrus. The Jabberwocky doesn't have that kind of magic though. That's why I'm confused. Like none of the people there, like Cyrus, Alice, Will, or the Jabberwocky have, as far as I know, the power to bring Amara back. And she's also been with Cyrus this entire time. She could have changed back with Cyrus. This is why it's the worst part, and it's why I'm pissed.
I'm allowing for it because obviously,
needed to happen, but
it was a limited series. So
yeah, so go ahead.
So the only worst part I wrote down was Jafar being a petty bitch, which he is a fucking petty bitch. What was the grade you gave this episode?
I originally gave it a B+, but I think it's an A-.
I gave it an A-. So we have one last episode. Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. We are looking forward to sharing it with you. We hope that you join us. And
cheers.